Amen. Amen. If you will, you heard the reading of the text found in Matthew chapter 2, 1 through 12. I just want to lift up the last three verses. And they say simply this: when they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Then, opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way. I want to draw your attention and ask that you pray with me just for a few moments on the subject. What are you going to do with the gift? What are you going to do with the gift? Let us bow and let us pray just now. Gracious and eternal God, we say thank you. God, we give you praise and we give you the glory. God, it is right now that we lift up holy hands to you, seeking your face in everything that we do. God, I pray, Lord, that the words that fall from your servant's mouth might fall on ground that is fertile. And God, it might fall on the hearts of men, women, boys, and girls, and then sprout up at the appropriate time to be the beautiful flower that you so desire. God, we say thank you. We give you praise. And God, I would be remiss to stand here and think that I can do this all by myself. God, I need your Holy Spirit fall fresh upon me, upon your people. In Jesus' name, amen. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, and when they saw the child, they fell down and they worshipped him. And they brought gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And being warned in the dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their home country another way. Mosby, since before Black Friday, people have been ripping and running to make sure that everything is just right. Yeah. Trimming the tree, ripping and running to decorate the house, purchase the gifts, and get ready for the most exciting day of the year. In the Davis household, this time of year creates both a sense of joy and anxiety in both myself and leading lady Laura. For me, the anxiety is created when my beautiful wife informs me around Thanksgiving that she wants the tree up a little earlier than last year. Immediately I begin thinking about the dreaded attic where the tree and all the trimmings are. It is here in this particular attic in our house that not only the tree and trimmings are, but also where everything else in the house is. I have to admit the space disturbs me at times. So the idea of crawling back to the back of the attic and pulling large plastic bins across the plywood laid down across the beams, the cross beams, it unnerves me a little bit. It unnerves me because I know that in just a few weeks, I gotta put it back. For my wife, the anxiousness comes as a result of knowing that she is on a timeline. Not only is she on a timeline, but everything has to be just right according to the standards of leading lady Laura. You see, she has a theme each year for her tree, and she and her eight sisters compete for the best looking tree. So this is serious business. Each ornament has to be hung just right. Each branch needs to be adjusted just right. The garland, the ribbons, and the star have to be according to her standards. And it is all for the most exciting time of the year. Most of us during this time have spent more than we can handle, eaten more than our share, and now wondering how we are going to manage in this new year. During this time, many of us wanted to know what we were going to get in hopes that we would get the gift that we hoped for and dreamed of. But sometimes the gift is not what we had expected, so what do? We take it back. And we take it back for many reasons. It wasn't the right size, it wasn't the right shape, it wasn't the right color, and it didn't even smell the way that I had hoped it would smell. We return it to the store hoping that we will find something that will meet our needs. And today I want to discuss one particular gift that was celebrated, that we have been celebrating for the past 2014 years. The gift that I speak of is one that keeps on giving in all seasons. It is a gift that is the right size, it is the right shape, and it is the right color. You can take it back if you want to, but for some strange reason, odd and beautiful reason, this gift never leaves you and nor forsakes you. You can leave it where you got it, but it won't leave you. This gift is able to fit any person, regardless of cultural background, nationality, or creed. This is not your ordinary gift. People can't give it to you because it's already been given. This gift that is for you is for the taking, if you will. All you need to do is accept it, and if you accept it, you will reap the benefits of the gift because it comes to give life and to give it more abundantly. This morning about this gift is found here in the Matthew found in Gospel, the Matthew of Gospel. The wise men in this text had seen a star in the east and traveled to Jerusalem, for they wanted to know where it was that they should go to worship this new King of Kings, this King of the Jews. We also see here in this text that Herod and his followers had some concerns about this gift, because this gift would be a threat to his authority. This gift would be a threat to his power. And it isn't interesting how some people can become so threatened by the gift that was not meant to do any harm, but rather to do good to the people of the world. Did anyone in this place run across some folks in 2014 that became threatened by the gift that was in you? People were fine with you just being quiet, just being low-key, not doing too much of anything, not making any waves or ruffling any feathers, not saying too much of anything, not rocking the boat. But one day you got a hold of the gift, and the gift got a hold of you, and you began to see the power and the blessing in the gift. You know, it's like fire with this gift that's shut up in my bones and needed to be released so that God can do what he wants to do in you. You see, this gift is the ultimate gift. A gift above all other gifts. But the question that I want to pose to us today is, what are you going to do with the gift? As you have made your way through yet another Christmas, another new year, at the end of the year, and now you're ready to take on 2015, the question is short and simple. What are you going to do with what God gave to you? Family, friends, and loved ones may have gone on to glory. The people have moved on to new ventures in life. Young people have graduated and gone off to school. Relationships have failed. Relationships have flourished. Politicians have come and go. Life continues to ebb and flow from second to second, minute to minute, hour to hour, day to day, month to month, and year to year. We never know what life will bring to us, but this one thing that God continually asks us in the midst of our ups and downs, in the midst of our trials and tribulations, what are you going to do with the gift that I have given to you, the gift that I have offered to you? pastors and servant leaders, chairs and co-chairs, you have been selected, elected, and now wondering what this new year has to bring and what it has to offer. You're the one that all eyes are turned to when the decisions need to be made. People are looking to you because they believe in you, they trust in you, they know that you can do it, and if anyone can handle the gift, it is you. In this particular section of scripture before us today are three suggestions to help us to answer this question that is presented to us. The first suggestion, and it's the focal of our text, is that one, we should align our sights with God. Amen. To align yourself with anything means to get straight. To get straight with that thing that you are aligning yourself with. Another sense of the word align also means that I partner with that one that I am aligning myself to. We need partnerships. We need people that we can go with and do and pray with and believe in and trust in and know that God's power is going to bring us through. In other words, I position myself in such a way that I get the best results in my life. I need to align myself with somebody that understands me, knows me, that I can partner with. And that's what God is asking. God is asking you to align your sights with him. Now it says in verse 12 that God warned them in a dream not to go back to Herod. And so they left their country by another road. Look, Herod told them to come back to him, and once they found where the child was, tell him where, so that he can go back and worship him too. God told them not to go back to Herod. See, the wise men were ready to go back to Herod and do what he said he needed to do, but God intervened and pointed them in another direction. Instead of partnering with Herod, the wise men said, we're going to partner with the angel that God sent us. If you want some things to change in your life in 2015, you're going to need to travel down a different path. For many of us, God has spoken to us in our dreams. He has shown us the right path that we should travel. But unfortunately, what has happened for too long is we keep on traveling down the same path. In other words, we keep on doing the same thing, getting the same results with the expectation that something different will happen. Albert Einstein called that insanity. You know that 2015 is going to be your year of breakthrough where you're going to bust through old stuff, bust through old ways of thinking that has kept you locked up and locked out. This year, it's first things first. You start afresh. You start anew. You've got a new lease on life. You're better than ever because God has blessed you and moved you and given that no one else can give. So you ought to be saying in your mind right now, no longer will I be controlled by people, places, or things. No longer will I be controlled by thoughts. No longer will I be controlled by the stuff and the mess that keeps me locked up. But in 2015, I'm going to do something new. I'm going to change up and I'm going to do what God has called me to do. Partner up, hook up with the Almighty. This is your season. This is your moment. It is your time. A new day has begun. Somebody ought to shout hallelujah. God is speaking to me, moving in me, doing some different kind of things, loving on me and letting me be who I have been created to be. Now, the next suggestion is that once you align your sights with God, you need to adjust your attitude. You need to adjust your attitude. See, with alignment comes adjustment. And with adjustment comes a new way of thinking. See, Herod told the wise men to come back to him and tell him where the child was so that he could go worship them as well. You see, once I align myself with God, I have to think in a new way. Day in and day out, I am constantly adjusting and fine-tuning my life that I may be in harmony with God. See, the powers of this world expect you to give your gift into their hands. But I would contend that they don't know how to handle your gift. They don't know how to handle the stuff that you bring. They don't know how to handle the love and the care that you bring into the world. They don't know like God knows. Don't give authority to the politicians. Don't give authority to the people on your job. Don't give authority to the negative thinking. Says in Romans 12 and 2, do not be conformed to this world, huh? But be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may discern the will of God, what is good and acceptable unto him. You gotta adjust. See, being a Christian requires you to partner with God and to begin to think outside of the box. There are many and some, there are some things in our churches and communities where God is calling the faithful few to rethink what they have always been doing and giving a little to no results, and he's calling them to do it differently. That's what God calls. Just like the wise men in the story, there ought to be a radical change once you have had an encounter and an experience with the Holy. When you come into this place, I ought to be changed when I come in. Huh? I may come in with a frown on my face. Huh? Somebody messing with me the way that they look at me, didn't smile at me, didn't say nothing to me. Change your attitude, because when you come in contact with the Holy, your life changes. When you get up close and personal, I mean face to face with the divine presence of God, there ought to be a change in you. There ought to be an adjustment in your attitude. You ought to think differently. You ought to walk out knowing that I can do what God has encouraged me to do. I can go where God has told me to go. That is aligning your sights and adjusting your attitude. And lastly, I'm going to let you go. The text suggests to us that not only do we align our sights with God and adjust our attitude, but we should aim towards home. Once the wise men heard God in their dreams, they had to make a decision of whether or not to follow him. They were told to go back another way. And this is the key point that I want you to remember in this new year. It is not necessarily the physical route that the wise men took home, but rather it was their mindset with which God was concerned. You gotta go home, right? Young people, you gotta go back to school. You gotta make your way down that road. You got to go to the place where you know is home. But Herod says, you've got to go home, but don't go back to Herod. God says, you've got to go home, but don't go back to Herod. See, some of us just got off holiday vacation. College kids are ready to head back to classes from the holiday season. The local high schools and middle schools and elementaries, they started back last week. For all of us, when that time is up, we will have to go back to our respective places and resume our normal routines. But what I believe God is saying here is that once you have seen the Christ child, once you have laid your eyes upon him, then you cannot go back the same way that you came, but rather you need to go back by another way. Yes, you do have to go back to work. Yes, you do have to go back to school. But know this, once you have But set your aim towards home. Home for Dorothy meant more than Kansas. Home for Dorothy meant loving people. Home for Dorothy meant that there was love in that home. Home is that place that encourages. Home is that place that nourishes. Home is that place where I'm cared for, people love me and accepts me no matter what. That's the place that you need to go. You need to go there. Don't view life as just some fleeting happenstance, but view it in the same manner